little bit of forgiveness goes a long way and leads for a big life. Just every single day, little bits of forgiveness. I forgive you, I forgive you. As we both keep giving each other forgiveness, well, it's like, well, we can't lose.
Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. And today, my co-host is back, my fiance, Jess.
Hey, I'm so happy to be back.
In this series, Jess and I will be sitting down with some of our favorite couples to unpack what hope looks like in each season of the relationship journey.
Guests share their personal stories and marital advice for Ben and I and for you.
It's going to be a celebration for all, no matter what love looks like in this season for you. In this episode, Jess and I have the honor of sitting down with lead pastors of Church Home Church, Chelsea and Judah Smith.
We're going to be digging into what intimacy looks like in a relationship, and guess what? It may be more layered than what you might think. They are such a wonderful couple, and they had so much wisdom to share with us. We had the best conversation. I can't wait for y'all to hear. So let's jump into it on this special episode of Hope Still Wins in Relationships. Here's Chelsea and Judah Smith.
All right, Hope Still Wins listeners. I wanted to start this podcast with a disclaimer. As you now know, we have Chelsea and Judah Smith on this week's episode. And it really is an incredible episode. They are just awesome people with incredible advice. Their genuineness and their authenticity towards this interview was something that the whole Hope Still Wins team was very thankful for. Unfortunately, I made a mistake. I made a big mistake. I did not set up the audio correctly for this episode. And as a result, the audio is not to the quality that Hope Still Wins would like. I'm still encouraging you to listen to it. It's not absolutely awful, but it's definitely not to the quality that we want or want to provide you all with. And for that, I am sorry. But we still decided to post this episode because we believe their words are important. And we believe that this interview is something that not only helped Jess and I, but also can just maybe touch the hearts of some of you. So take a listen. Give us some grace. I promise to not try to do this again. I can't promise that I won't do it again, but I can promise not to try. So I still hope you enjoy today's episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this community. It means a ton to all of us. Hey, take a listen. It's worth it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hope Still Wins with my beautiful co-host,
Jessica Clark.
For now. Hey, we have a really special episode. Chelsea and Judah Smith are with us right now. Two people that we've admired from a distance that I was just telling them I've heard a lot about, never got to meet in person over the last week. We're just going to sit with them and chat about relationship, singleness, sex, marriage, everything good. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. Really grateful for this time and excited for the conversations. These are some of our favorite topics, so we love it. Love talking about it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Just to get it started here, it is some of your favorite topics. Obviously, you do a series called Marriage Mondays on your Instagram, Chelsea. Do you mind, just kind of kick us off here, do you mind giving a brief background about who the two of you are, just in case people aren't familiar, and then what is Marriage Mondays? Why did it start?
So you want to say who we are and I'll say what Marriage Monday is?
Yeah, we're Judah and Chelsea, and we get to lead a community called Church Home. Our passion is for people to practice their faith in God all over the world in their living rooms and bedrooms and condos and public parks. And we also have church services live once a month in Seattle.
Oh, come on. That's what we do. That's not who we are.
Oh, I thought that's what, and then you were going to talk about like who we are. I thought we were like talking about what we do.
He asked who we are.
Okay.
We have been married it'll be 22 years, November 5th.
Wow.
So we have been married, 22 years, which actually feels like, I think, one of our greatest life accomplishments, don't you think? I don't know, now I'm questioning it because he asked who we are, and you talked about what we are. So.
Yeah, this is not how Hope Still Wins is supposed to start.
I like
this created everything, and I feel like fighting with my wife right now. So we can do that.
I think this is perfect.
Yeah.
We have three kids. Obviously, yeah. A huge part of who we are. They are 17, 14, and 12. Their names are Zion, Elliot, and Grace. We love them. But Marriage Monday, you asked about. I started a couple years ago when one of our closest friends ended up just ending up in a place in their marriage where they felt like the only option was to get a divorce. Mm-hmm. And watching the pain of that, the pain that we felt that as a couple, that our children felt, that it was just one of the most traumatic, grief-ridden things that we've walked through with people really similar to death. And I just got so mad at, you know, when you just get mad at the world and the universe and you think, okay, what can I do out there? What can I put out there to keep people from having to experience this grief and trauma, if at all possible? And I'm not huge on social media, but okay, I can do it.
She doesn't mean a lot of followers. What she means is she's not into it real big. Sorry,
it's fair.
I love how you said, I'm not huge on Instagram. It's like,
thanks for that.
Now I'm going to clarify your statement.
Guys, this is what you have to look forward to in 22 years, is clarifying each other and interrupting each other. Welcome.
Or fighting on the drive into the office this morning. Chelsea was like, turn left. And I was like, you know what? Can you stop telling me where to turn? I'm 42 years old. We live in this city. I'm going to drive exactly where I want to drive. But you were really nice about it.
Thank you.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
It was like 10 minutes.
Yeah, just a couple minutes ago.
It really is fantastic. This is the whole purpose of this relationship series is, and really with Hope Still Wins, when this started, was to almost take these people in the world that people put on a pedestal and they say their life is perfect. They have everything together. They get it all the time. They understand this world in a way I don't, and bring in this conversation that says, well, hey, maybe we're all very similar. Like, maybe we actually have this thing going for us. And that's why we wanted to do this. And especially with the two of you, Marriage Mondays is a terrific effort. And I think it's going to help many. In fact, at 32 years old, in the last 5 years, I've had 4 friends go through a divorce within the first 6 years of their marriage. And it's been really frustrating, really sad, really disorienting. And so I think it's terrific. And so thank you for doing it. Well, to kick off Hopes and Wins in this new series and get everybody familiar who's listening, we asked really the people on Instagram for their questions for the two of you, with no holds bar, unfiltered. And then also hopefully giving Jessica and I some advice as we enter into this next phase for us as we get married very soon. And we're very excited about it. But I mean, at least from my perspective, it's an overwhelming time. And you were just telling them at the beginning that today's been a lot. And you're looking forward to this for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, talking about people thinking of your life together, I feel like, you know, that's social media in general. And, you know, 15 minutes before this, I was crying because I was overwhelmed by the wedding planning and just everything we have going on top of it. And I was telling y'all right before we started, I think my biggest reason for my meltdown is that we're not focusing on the marriage piece of it. We're so focused on the wedding piece of it. So being able to sit down with people like you guys, you know, being married for 22 years and even hearing the little fights you get in, but then 10 minutes later you can come and, you know, you're going to be on a marriage podcast. Like, it's great. So, this was perfect timing for me, honestly. And I'm really excited to just chat with you guys and get some little nuggets of wisdom.
Well, I think that says so much about you, that you have the awareness to realize, man, we've been focusing on our wedding, which is going to be beautiful, I'm sure, but it'll be there one day and gone the next, and realizing, you know, let's take some time to make sure we focus in planning our marriage, which will be with you for the rest of your life. So that says so much about you, that you have that capacity and wisdom and want that.
So
true. Amazing.
So true.
So let's start there. A couple questions came in about relationships and marriage. And I'll ask you both, and Jessica and I will just start throwing questions at you. When it comes to these tough scenarios in life, or having the tough conversations, planning for a marriage, what would be your advice on how to do it successfully? Let's start with people who are engaged. Before the marriage begins, as you're prepping for the future, what are some things that you would really focus on in order to try to make as healthy of a relationship as possible?
Well, I'll jump in because I think Jessica brings up an incredible point. And I think in a way, what you're experiencing, Jessica, is a little bit of a microcosm of what marriage can be. And that is the misappropriation of what's big and what's small. But Jessica, I think it's really, really important to go, hey, what's more important, the wedding or the marriage? Well, right now it's wedding, 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 wedding. Well, but that's not what's going to sustain you. And frankly, Chelsea and I kind of look back at our wedding and go, I mean, it was fun. It was awesome. It was amazing.
It was in the 90s and the decor was really bad.
So. And the reception, it was literally in a gymnasium. It was the worst. But anyways, we have a really enjoyable marriage. But I say all that to say, I think even on a daily basis, for instance, today in this little fight we got in the car, Chelsea within probably a minute and 30 seconds goes, hey, I'm really sorry for frustrating you. And then I go, hey, this neighborhood's pretty cool that we're driving through. I like that house or whatever. Using the ability to just go, all right, get over it. You know what the big deal is? It's not the home you're going to live in. It's not the clothes you wear. It's not the places you shop or your favorite restaurant. That's not that, but we make those the big deal. We're constantly thinking about, you know, what purchase am I going to make? What vacation am I going to go on? When in reality, what's important in a marriage or any relationship is things like, will you forgive me? Is things like not making a mountain out of a molehill and just going, you know what? I'm going to let this go. I'm not going to turn this little drive into the office, which is what was today. Chelsea's trying to tell me where to go. And I'm like, stop telling me where to go. But it's like, we made that molehill just a molehill and we moved on. And I got to admit, in my 20s, I did not do that. I would have turned today into potentially an all-day fight. I would have. But learning just to go, that's not really what's important. So I just applaud you, Jessica, honestly, because I think your marriage is way more important than your wedding. And I agree. I think your desire and ambition and focus is definitely in the right place.
And I think that temptation to make something that's not the biggest priority, the biggest priority, what's happening to you right now, is going to last your whole life and your whole marriage. And right now it's the wedding, but next season it's going to be, man, you're going to write a book and it's going to feel like this book is going to be so much more important than your marriage, or then you're going to have a baby and it's going to feel like this baby is so much more important than your marriage. And in all of that, books are going to come and go, jobs are going to come and go.
Your baby's going to grow up and move out.
Baby's going to move out. And realizing that your marriage is your priority in life. For us, it's our relationship with God, which is our foundation of our marriage, and then our marriage, and everything else comes second to that. And if you can learn how to prioritize that now, even in the middle of wedding planning, and just get on the same page of, is this our priority? Are we both committed that this is the most important thing for the rest of our lives, you know, so as long as we both shall live? That is, I think, one of the most significant foundational steps that you can lay now during these next 7 weeks of your engagement season, or however long you have.
It's close. Okay. Yeah, I thought of a question. I hope it's okay for me to ask. So in those moments where maybe one of you sees the other kind of getting out of priority of the marriage, how would you bring that up to the other person in a loving way where it's not like discrediting what they are doing, but kind of saying, you know, maybe you're feeling neglected or whatever it may be?
That is such a good question. I'll go first. I have found, and this is definitely 23 years of marriage, at the beginning, I would have brought that up.
22, isn't it?
Oh yeah, 22. Yeah, 23. I would have brought that up when I was frustrated about it, when I was disappointed, when I feel small, because if you feel like your husband isn't prioritizing your marriage, that makes you feel small. And when I feel small, when I feel put in a corner, when I feel insecure, when I feel not loved, that makes me lash out. And so I would have brought that up in my lash out stage.
Yep.
And I would have brought that up to Judah. Instead of, first of all, going to myself and realizing, okay, I feel small and not loved and insignificant right now because I don't feel like my husband's prioritizing our marriage. I'm going to go take care of that between myself and God and get my smallness taken care of because my husband can't fix that for me. And then in a non-emotional time, I'm going to come to Judah and say, hey, babe, I know you love me. I know we made a commitment to prioritize our marriage, but this happened. And when you did that, it made me feel like you weren't prioritizing our marriage and it made me feel small. And so then instead of that conversation being accusatory towards him and saying, you're bad, you're wrong, you did these things wrong, I'm saying, I know you didn't mean to, but this is how I felt, and this is how I interpreted. And then that gives him a chance to come and love and heal and let us have a conversation about how he made that mistake, because that's not what he wanted to do, but it was a mistake. And giving him that benefit of the doubt and communicating how I'm feeling instead of what he did wrong from a judgmental perspective.
Absolutely. The once again, just finding when you're charged and when you're emotional, that is almost never the right time to attempt healthy communication and connection. It's always the time to exercise self-control and just kind of go, all right, I'm going to think this through a little bit. And in our case, talk to Jesus about it, literally. Jesus, help me right now. I just want to scream at my wife. And then find within the day, like we try to find time within that same day. We're not going, hey, 2 weeks ago, you hurt me. You know, it's like, okay, what in the world is going on right now? But it's like, hey, this morning, you know, later that evening, maybe after we watch The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or something.
You're in a good mood.
The you said something interesting there, Chelsea, that I want to touch on a little bit, because and Judy, you're speaking to it as well. One of the questions that got written into us was and I'm going to try to rephrase it so it makes sense given our context. Pretty much they've lost the ability to give their partner the benefit of the doubt, and they don't know why. That they're assuming the worst and not the best. And so you said something about giving the partner the benefit of the doubt, which I think it sounds so simple, but it's actually so complex when you think about, hey, I'm going to approach arguments, conversations, assuming that my partner loves me and wants what's best for me and is not trying to hurt me. But when you've lost that over time, maybe you've taken 2 weeks to have a conversation and there's just something that's built up inside of you. How do you get it back? How do you go back to a place of saying, I know you love me and I know you care? And how do you even start the conversation to get there?
Man, I think that feels like the world right now, that as the world, we have stopped giving anybody the benefit of the doubt. So I think that's a great question for marriage. I think it's also a great question for the world that we are living in.
Yeah, I mean, 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us that this idea of love, which originates from the creator of heaven and earth, God, that love believes the best, right? Love believes the best. It speaks the best. And so I will say this, in the most tactical approach I can take right now, you have got to friend the right people. Who you hang out with is going to make a big difference in your marriage. You need to hang out with friends who will remind you that your spouse married you for a reason, that he or she is actually in love with you, and you need to calm down and relax a little bit and get some perspective. Furthermore, you need friends who will say, listen, man, you really outkicked your coverage here and you got something really great on your hands. Don't screw it up. Ask for forgiveness, humble yourself, listen to her, love her, take good care of her. She's the best thing that ever happened to you. And those are the friends that I'm still friends with. After all of these years, I need people in my life reminding me how great this human being is that I'm involved with. And I must say, at 42 years old, Chelsea's 43, she's older than me, I don't want to get into it. I was in 8th grade.
Oh, no.
I was dating a high schooler. It's not a big deal, guys. But I will say that we have distanced ourselves from people who are negative and critical, not just of my spouse or my marriage or but life, because we believe we have to live by love. And I think loving well is living well. And I think loving well is being married well. And part of loving well is believing the best and saying it out loud. I love my wife. I have 3 very, very close friends, and we communicate every single day. And one of the things we communicate on is the little stuff, which is actually the big stuff. We talk about how it's a beautiful opportunity. It's a new day. For those of us that are married, we talk about our beautiful spouse and how much we love them. And it's been healing in a way.
Yeah, I love it that Judy, you're going practical and I'm going to go scriptural here.
Right, wow. What a role reversal.
You know, there's a verse in the Bible that said that he who has been forgiven much loves much. And the context of that is basically in our belief system as Christians, we believe that Jesus has completely forgiven us. Everything that we have ever done wrong, we have been forgiven of. And because of that forgiveness that Jesus offers, that we can forgive ourselves and forgive the people around us. And for me, I just found that to be so helpful in being able to give my husband the benefit of the doubt of realizing, no, you know what? I'm loved and I'm forgiven outside of myself.
That's right.
And so is he. So even though I'm not perfect, he is, and he's not perfect, we are perfectly loved, not by each other, but by our Creator. And that, for me, gives a foundation of if God can forgive
him. That's right.
Because I think a lot of the benefit of the doubt comes in over years, and it can just be not a one big moment, but it can come in gradually year after year as trust is just eroded because of little things that aren't forgiven and are left undone. And I just don't want to leave any of those little things unforgiven or undone. But and the way I can do that is realizing, oh, Jesus has done that for me, and so I can forgive him.
And that's a big part of our worldview, Ben and Jessica, is that we really believe that we are recipients of unconditional love, the choosing of God. And so we believe that God loved us. And if he loved us, how much more freely can we not love others? And so we kind of live from this scandalous loved space, which is like, I can't believe we're loved. I can't believe we have oxygen in our body. I can't believe we're still alive. We deserve death. We haven't earned any of this. I didn't choose my birth date. I didn't choose my family. I didn't choose the time I would live. And so I think there's this approach every day that's just going like, wow, I cannot let this person go because this woman is one of the greatest gifts God's ever given to me.
What?
And I pray other than Jesus Nazareth, okay? Other than the resurrected living God, this is the greatest gift I've ever received. And I want to cherish her and protect her and guard her and keep her and not sabotage my own life by treating her with disrespect and dishonor, because that will only end up hurting both of us.
And I just think whoever asked that question is amazing that they have the self-awareness to realize, I think this is eroding in our relationship right now. And yeah. I think having that self-awareness is so incredible. So I love that person.
We're preachers too, guys. So I'm looking at the time and I'm like, oh my word, I think we've through 1.5 questions.
No, I'm like soaking it in. I mean, this is exactly what I needed today. So I'm thankful for it. But if we can, like, if you could narrow it down and give just a small nugget of advice for like a steady, long lasting relationship, what would that be? I feel like we've kind of talked about like the people you surround yourself with, being quick to apologize, but also taking your time and making sure you're approaching things well. But is there any other advice that you would give?
I would say your thoughts. Again, going back to scripture, Jesus says, you know, in the kingdom of God, living in God's domain is like the tiniest seed, a mustard seed that grows into a big, big plant, a big tree, actually. And the thought there is that in God's domain, little things become big things.
Yeah.
And I think the smallest things that become the biggest things in our marriage is our thoughts and our thoughts towards our spouse. And I learned this once when the kids were little and we were both working, but I was part-time at that point. So I had Fridays off and those were my house cleaning days or my doing stuff around the house days. And I was so frustrated because I was like picking up Judah's underwear, putting his dishes away. And throughout the day is I am cleaning up after him and our three children. I just was getting more and more annoyed at him. And poor man, he came home from a full day of working to this wife who was so annoyed at him when he had done nothing except for what he'd always done. But my thoughts throughout the day were frustrated, negative, seeing the worst about him. Turned up into a huge fight, ruined our Friday night, ruined our Saturday. I was like, I don't want to do this again. And so it came around to the next Friday. And of course, my big blow up changed nothing. His underwear was still on the ground. And
I've gotten better.
His dishes were still everywhere. But I just made a choice. And it was a selfish choice. I realized I don't want to ruin my weekend all over again. And so I don't want to have him to have to come home with the same scenario. So every time I put his underwear away or did a dish, I'm so grateful for my husband that he's working so hard, that he's providing, that he's a good dad. And I just made a choice for what I was going to think about my husband on that day. And you know what was crazy? The circumstances were exactly the same, but the outcome was completely different. He came home and I was so grateful for him. I gave him a big hug and we had the best weekend after that. And just realizing that running thoughts that we keep towards our spouse, I think are probably the most important thing that we need to discipline and guard and just protect.
I agree. And I would just add forgiveness. A little bit of forgiveness goes a long way and leads for a big life. Just every single day, little bits of forgiveness. I forgive you. As we both keep giving each other forgiveness, well, it's like, well, we can't lose. We're just gonna keep going together. Like if we just keep forgiving each other and not being offended and hurt and broken and worked up and tell a story in our head about each other that isn't true, then I think we're gonna be okay. So that's some of the things we've done, I think. Yeah.
This week's episode of Hope Still Wins is brought to you by Generous International. Generous International is a company that I co-founded. Generous donates 100% of profits to nonprofits fighting human-facing injustice. So every bag of coffee bought, every cup of coffee drink is going back to make the world a better place. Generous is best known for selling coffee, specialty grade coffee. So it's some of the best coffee in the world. You're going to drink coffee anyways. And like we like to say, why not make it life-changing coffee? Well, you can visit Generous at generouscoffee.com. Please go out today and check out Generous Coffee. We had Louis Giglio on to kick off the Hope Still Wins podcast a couple months ago. And yeah, and he spoke a lot about that. And it's something that I want to highlight, because it's been spoken through this podcast over and over again with our guests, is to have that battle in your mind. Like, if you recognize that your thoughts are unhealthy, or if your thoughts are going to lead to something that is not going to be the outcome that you want, it's okay to stop yourself and say, hey, I want to change this narrative internally. Like, I don't want to give the enemy, for his book, a seat at the table. Like, I want to combat the things that are going to lead to negativity and enhance the things that are going to lead to positivity. And that's just like, that's a responsibility. It's also a really great response to things that are hard. And I think we forget that so many times, is we think, oh no, this is my reaction, so I need to hold on to it because it's true to me. Well, maybe it's unhealthy. If you don't mind, we're going to switch for a second here, kind of change to a topic. Back in college, I pursued, in my glory days, a sexual education minor. And so this is something that I'm very comfortable talking about. If I go too far, feel free to pull back, okay?
This is great. I can guarantee we won't pull back.
Well, it's really great, because Jessica and I have been very public about us waiting for marriage, which is awesome when you're in the public spotlight, because I don't even know if we ever said it publicly, but somehow it became a public thing. And so when People Magazine has a cover that says Ben and Jess are waiting to marriage, but it has entered us into having these conversations often. And I want to talk, this is a decision that Jessica and I made. This is what we believe was healthiest for our relationship entering into marriage. I still, a year and a half into our COVID engagement, still feel strongly about that, even though I'm frustrated with COVID. I want to talk about, for you two, when you think about sex within the relationship of marriage, and when you think about sex in general, what kind of things come to your mind? And then how is it done in a healthy way within a relationship? Because I think I want to talk to anybody who might be just dating. You know, what is the good things and the bad things about that? Let's just talk about sex for a bit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think first I'd love to affirm your choice and the decision that you made, obviously, probably from a faith perspective, but that's also our choice. We also were barely 21 when we got married. And yeah. So
we didn't wait for marriage. You know what I mean? Like, we did what we did. It's 21. It's like, how can you even say that you waited, bro? Relax.
You totally cheated the system in that regard. But I would say that
you get married young enough, you don't have to wait long.
But yeah.
I would say the two biggest gifts that has contributed to our marriage is, first of all, trust. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, I think one of the most motivating, moving moments of our marriage, particularly early on, was I came back from a trip. At that point, I was traveling minimum once a month. I traveled a little bit more, and now I travel a lot less. Thank you, God. But I would come back from these trips, never going alone. Never
to go and preach.
Yeah, to preach. I'm sorry. To go speak somewhere, whatever. And always would go with a buddy, just because I'm a normal person. I just needed some accountability. But I would come back from these trips, and I'll never forget this one time. Chelsea goes, "Do you know why I trust you on these trips?" And I go, "Trust me?" She's like, "Sexually. You know why I don't think that you're messing around with other women?" And I was like, "No, but I'm not. Thank you for trusting me." She's like, no, listen. Like, because you were honorable with me, even though you knew we were gonna get married, but you respected my body and you respected my sexuality, and we didn't have sex before marriage. Because you exercise self-control with me, I am confident you'll exercise self-control with others." And boy, all of a sudden I was like, I didn't even know you were gonna say that 3 years into our marriage, but I am sure glad I did that.
Yeah.
Because that giving her that trust, boy, there's not enough money in the world to buy that.
And the fact we dated in high school and middle school, but then when we were in our 20s, literally 20, we dated for 5 months and then weren't dating for 5 months. It was fast. So, no. But the fact that
10 months of self-control.
10 months of self-control could provide for
it's
us
wild.
20, now it's almost 22 years of trust in a marriage. Man, that gift has been absolutely worth it in these 22 years of our marriage. So I think that's the one benefit. And then the other benefit is honestly such a fun, amazing sex life that we get to experience together, because we were, and I realize we're unicorns in this sense, it doesn't exist very often. We're both virgins, so we're the only people each other has been with. And for us, that has provided a lot of freedom and fun and trust in our sex life.
Totally. I mean, the marriage is undefiled, the Bible says, and which speaks to this idea of within the confines of commitment one to other, you can have fun and you can experiment and learn together about each other's bodies and fun things you can do and new positions and how to do it and all that. And it's really, really fun. We enjoy even sometimes role playing and, like, you know, all kinds of different fun stuff that I hope doesn't offend people. But it's actually, sex is one of the most meaningful parts of our life with each other. And by the way, I have lots of friends who've slept with a lot of people, but one of the processes that they have practiced is when they find the one person, they've made a commitment for an extended period of time to not have sex. And that has rebuilt a level of trust that's been really amazing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never thought about it in the sense of, like, the trust, but as you were talking, I was like, subconsciously, I think that's been a thing, because Ben was in the spotlight before he ever met me. And a lot of my friends have been like, do you ever get jealous when girls come up to Ben and stuff? And I'm like, jealous has never really been something, you know, past a couple months into our relationship that's really hit me. And I think it is because he's, you know, assured me in this way with his actions and not just his words. So that's something that's really, when you said it, I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
You said something, though, and to get to the thought process where you could even tell Judah, and we're going to close up here because we're going to respect your time. But I do have just a couple more things I want to get to for the people that wrote in. I think they're going to really enjoy your wisdom. But how did you even get to a place that you realized that you trusted Judah because of that commitment he made to you and because of the way he respected your relationship? Like, how in the world did you even get from a place of saying, hey, why? Like, you had to at some point ask yourself the question, why am I okay with Judah traveling, and then go, I'm okay with it because of this reason?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think obviously I had to realize the trust was there when the trust was tried. You don't realize you have to trust something until it's tried. And I think he was gone, and normally we're pretty good at texting back and forth, and there was a night where, I don't know, he probably lost his phone charger. I can't remember the exact scenario, but I couldn't get a hold of him for an evening. And I think I played in my head all of the movie scenarios that you see, you know, of a wife not being able to get a hold of her husband and believing the worst and having distrust. And I just realized, no, that's not a fear for me right now, that he isn't getting hold of me because he's with another woman. So I think it was just one of those scenarios.
I'm pretty sure we were at Chili's.
I was
having a bacon cheeseburger and extra crispy fries, but, you know, which is not necessarily a good decision either by now.
No, it's just a beautiful thing to say to your partner. I think that's special. Well, we're going to close up with a little bit about singleness. People wrote in asking a couple questions about singleness I want to touch on. We have a mission. I came out with a book in February, and a big portion of this book was talking to people who are single, saying, hey, it's okay. It's great, actually, if that's what you want or if that's what happens. But I think it's something that is heavy over a lot of people's lives as they try to enter into the dating pool. So first question that we got in, how in the world, if you're looking for a partner, let's start here, and you can't find it, you've struck out, you're getting older, you feel like nothing in your life has gone according to plan, and you don't know why you're where you're at, and you don't know what's wrong with yourself, and that's something that you're believing, is that there's something wrong with you. How in the world do you trust that a partner is out there, or is that even a truth-filled trust? Like, can you trust that there is a partner out there for you if you are single and wanting somebody?
Oh, I love that question. I had two of my very closest friends happened to have their 40th birthdays during COVID, still as single women who would love to get married, who are some of my closest friends. I could brag about them, but I know we're short on time. And I just I love the question because I know that's so real, and the lack of excitement, just that question that came up from my friends and talking through that with them. And with that journey and conversation with my friends, I realized that it's so easy for us as humans, especially as followers of Jesus, to put our trust in an outcome instead of to put our trust in a person. For us, that person is God, and in ourselves. And so for me, I think that trust is, hey, you know what, I trust God, and I don't trust that God is always going to give me the outcome that I want. I trust that God is really good and big enough to give me an outcome that could be better than I want, or that he's going to redeem, or that is going to be beautiful in a way that I couldn't have seen it if I was going to get what I always want. And then I think that trusting God is what enables me, and talking through with my friends who turned 40 as single women over COVID, to realize, and you know what, because of that, I can trust myself. I can trust that I'm amazing. I can trust that I'm in my purpose. I can trust that I have incredible purpose in my life, whether or not I ever get married. And just seeing these incredible friends of mine walk through that with that trust was so beautiful.
So beautiful. One of my best friends is 37, and he's very much an eligible bachelor and very handsome. And like yourself, Ben, I might add, had a lot of suitors, and has, and still has, but really hasn't found the match. And, you know, walking with him almost every single day, I think what I have learned, and honestly, I haven't taught him this, this is what he's taught me, is that there are huge advantages and upsides to being single that need to be celebrated and enjoyed and embraced. And he'll do this. He did this 3 days ago in a group text with me and my closest friends. He goes, well, I hope you guys are enjoying your days with your wife and your kids. I have no one to answer to but God, and I'm gonna go play golf and do whatever I want today on this Saturday, and I'm gonna have a good time doing it. And I was like, yes, bro. Like, that's what a single man or a single woman should be like. Hey, there's huge advantages. And I'll never forget, a buddy of mine finally built this incredible mansion. And he goes, you know, Judah, I finally have my dream home, and it's a mansion, and it is a monster. It's huge. And he goes, no matter where I am in this mansion, I still have to live with me. I'm still just me. And you know, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're in a mansion, whether you're in a condo, whether you're renting, whether you're buying, whether you're leasing, whether you don't have a home, we are still just us. And no matter where we are, believing that God is with us in that moment. And I'm gonna do it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna do it. Hope still wins. I would say, more than anything, keep your hope. The hope for purpose and singleness, the hope for marriage and purpose there, if and when that comes. But regardless, keeping that mentality and that perspective that, hey, today is all I have. Today, Jesus said in his own words, he said, you're so worked up about tomorrow. You're so caught up about your brokenness yesterday. Today is enough. Let's live today to the fullest. And I would just urge anyone out there who's single but doesn't want to be single, right? Because that's really what we're talking about. You're single, but you don't want to be. That you enjoy your singleness today. Today you're single. Today you get to be single and celebrate that. And I'll end with this. Hey, guess what? Jesus was single. Being single is pretty awesome, okay? God put on skin and bone, and he was single. So singleness can be a super incredible way to live. And while you are single, enjoy every single day that's a gift that you have. Now, that's easy for us to say, we're married, but on behalf of one of my best friends and Chelsea's best friends that are 40 and 37, they have demonstrated to us that reality, and it has been incredibly impacting.
Yeah. I love that you said the hope in singleness, because I feel like when you're single, you're always hoping for something else, but there's hope in that moment. And I think we're going to have another conversation about the hope in singleness for sure. But one other thing, and then I have a final question. When you were talking about you being in a relationship but celebrating your single friends, one of my unofficial hobbies is matchmaking. And I think that I probably, as you're talking, I was like, I need to retire that hobby and maybe just celebrate my friends that are single and be there with them and be like, have so much fun. Like, spend your money on an extravagant vacation. Like, you have the time, you can do what you want. And, you know, helping for them to enjoy that moment instead of always pushing them to like that cute guy at the bar, you know, which is my favorite thing to do.
So fun though too.
Yeah. But with that, so is it okay to not want to be in a relationship? Like, if you're comfortable being single, is there something wrong? Like, is it good to just say, you know what? I think my calling in life is to be single, and I'm so content and happy with that.
Can I say yes, but with a caveat? And I think that is yes. Yes, yes, yes. That is absolutely okay. God, the Bible actually, we believe, written by our Creator, makes that so clear that that is a calling for so many people, and that is a desire. But I would make sure that you are doing that out of a place, and that's because you desire singlehood, not because you are reacting to relationships and closing your heart off, not because you've been hurt so much. And so you're closing your heart and you're just saying, forget it, I'm over it. I'm not even gonna let my heart be open to this anymore. Because our hearts are supposed to be soft. And as soon as we close our hearts off to anything, I don't think that's going to be healthy for anything in our lives, because you can't close off your heart to a marriage relationship without that affecting closing off your heart to friendships, and then closing off your heart to nieces and nephews and siblings. That will bleed over into your other relationships that you do have. So I think you can, yes, be called to be single, but don't close off your heart to relationships, because that's going to be so detrimental.
And Jessica, I would say too, like, let's not pretend. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick, speaking of hope, right? So there is a sickness sometimes when you hope. You know, my mom and dad used to call it getting your hopes up, you know, and you get your hopes up and you're like, she's the one, he's the one, this is it. And then they're not at all. They're actually, you know, have another relationship that you didn't know about. You're like, oh my word. What I think Chelsea and I would encourage is tell your friends that, hey, I feel sick today to my stomach. And they're like, oh, is it something you ate? No, it's because of so-and-so. I got my hopes so involved in that potential relationship, only to find out it wasn't the one, and I just feel sick today. It's like, oh, man, thank you. Come over. Let's have a good meal. Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's pray together, and then let's embrace the day that we do have. But I think this pretending that we're not hurt, that we're not broken, that's not what we're suggesting either. We're saying, hey, say that. Admit it. Hey, hope deferred. Like anybody else, it kind of made me feel sick, and I need some help here, and I need some people to encourage me. And then let's get on with it. And I think the candor in which you and Ben demonstrate, and Ben has really demonstrated on such a significant level in media, is I think that's the trend. I think that's where we're headed in our culture, is just being more candid and honest. And I certainly hope, on behalf of Christians and the Church of the Living God, I want to say I hope the church continues in that endeavor to be more candid, more honest, more open, and telling the truth about our singleness, our marriedness, or whatever social status or relational status that we have.
You guys are great. This is exactly what we needed, exactly what we wanted on a day that was God-given for both of us to have you two here, because, we were in a good place, but I was watching my fiance just get emotional about what is to come in a really healthy way, and I know it's not going to be the last time, but it was great to sit down and be able to talk through it with you two. Hey, we close every episode in the same way. You guys can answer it however you want. You can answer it together. You can answer it separately. Do you believe, in the context of relationship, in the context of life, do you believe hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not?
Absolutely. Hope still wins, because without it, the world is a dark, bleak, ugly place.
Without faith, hope, and love, life falls flat. And I'm not even sure it's worth living. But where there is faith, where there is hope, and where there is love, no matter your social status, no matter your economic status, no matter where you are in the world, if you got a little bit of faith, hope, and love, you can win, and you can win big in life in terms of fulfillment and contentment and meaning and purpose.
Wow. Hey, thanks so much, Chelsea and Judah Smith. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Hope Still Wins in Relationships.
We still have 3 episodes of this season before the wedding, so make sure you subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Our upcoming guests are ones, you've heard it before, you don't want to miss. Maybe someone from the Bachelor franchise is up next.
I guess you'll have to tune in to find out. See y'all next week.